Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Welcome to the show.
Is this BAI?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to call BAI.
I'm calling BAI. Everybody's calling BAI.
Exactly. What's going on?
I don't know.
BAI is not on the air.
This must be a party line.
It's very odd.
They must have took it off the air.
Six could cut them off.
What's happening with the broadcast?
No idea.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Who am I talking to? I'm a listener. Who is this?
I'm a listener.
Wow.
This is wild. But I mean, it's scary because they've been going through all that trouble with the Pacifica board and everything.
Yeah, that's unusual.
How long have they been off the air, do you guys know?
I just turned them on because I wanted to hear something, and I got really scared. Hello?
Hello? Looks like there's no more BAI people.
I'm freaked out.
That's messed up, though. Do we get on?
All right, as some of you folks are painfully aware, we lost the signal. We've had some problems over at our transmitter, but those problems have been resolved. We want to thank Jake Glantz and Grayson Challenger, particularly Jake Glantz, who brought us, came back from Brooklyn to get our transmitter back up online. It is 16 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. We're going to turn the controls over to Off the Hook, Emmanuel Goldstein. Again, we do apologize to all of WBAI's listeners and supporters. I know you're going through a tough time, as are we, but our transmitter is back up, and we're back up. Emmanuel, it's yours.
Ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Only live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but then it knows.
Yeah, we're back. I don't think people realize the frustration of having a 50,000-watt radio station where you can't tell people that you're off the air or when you're going to come back on. But we had some kind of transmitter heat stroke, and people are working feverishly to make sure that it never happens again. Just to make sure, though, that our signal is actually going out, please give us a call now at 212-209-2900. You see the switchboard light up full, then we'll know that it's actually working. Two calls. That could just be a coincidence, you know. Four calls, all right. That's better, 10 calls. I think we've got a movement here. Well, I'll tell you, folks, it's a scary thing to turn on your favorite radio station and hear nothing but static, but hopefully that will never happen again. Scary stuff, okay, and scary feedback, too. Guys, you want to stop playing cards now and get on with the show?
This is a really good game of hearts.
Yeah, we're back on the air now, it's time to put that away.
All right.
Oh, boy.
So what's new?
Well, apart from this mayhem over here, we lost the entire expert witness show, unfortunately, in a good part of the end of the news because we went off the air at 6:50 p.m., and now we're back. So
that's okay because I just lost hearts.
All right, put those cards away. It's illegal to gamble on the air.
We're not gambling.
Well, I don't know what you're doing, but you can't do that. All right, so we have a lot of things to update people on. Let's just wait for the listeners to filter back in. Actually, let's take a couple of phone calls while the listeners are filtering back in. We'll do things in kind of reverse order this week. All right, so and we'll start with the highest number line. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Fantastic. Oh, I thought you guys got absconded by Pacifica or something weird. Total bizarre.
It is kind of surreal that we go off the air like that. But, you know, I think that's something that people should take seriously because
absolutely.
That happens all the time with radio stations. They just get taken over, swallowed up in corporate mega mergers,
And all of a sudden, the voice is gone. And when the voice is gone, you have no power. You know, we're sitting here in a studio, but we can't talk to anybody because we don't have the radio station. So the time to speak is when you have the radio station, right?
I had to call like 10 minutes ago, and there was no answer. I guess you were trying to resolve the problem. I thought, oh, no, they shut the doors. Then I called your voicemail, and you were still there. So
yeah, well, even with no transmitter, we still have the full switchboard. So, yeah, we were trying to pick up all the phone calls.
Small bit of news. So the other night, I think it was Friday night, around 1 in the morning, Art Bell had the a former program director of that station out in San Francisco that got sieged or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And he was rooting for that guy who was rooting for, you know, like restoration of the station to the people.
Right.
I hope we're not going to get taken over by the the monsters that be. It was interesting. He said that one of the board members of Pacifica is linked over to Clinton. I don't know. So I don't know anything else.
Well, everybody is linked to everybody else in some way. There are certain people that have high-ranking positions in other areas. You got to judge people by the people, though, by what they do, not by what they're linked to so much. And I think that's where we have to focus the issue here. But, yeah, it's still going on to update people on that situation. The radio station out there in Berkeley is still boarded up. We're going to the third week of that now. The best thing we can do is just keep an eye on the situation and not forget about it and show our solidarity whatever way we can. If you go to realradio.org, www.realradio.org, you can listen to KPFA, what's left of KPFA, as well as this station and a bunch of others.
You mentioned a website, savepacifica.com.
.net. Savepacifica.net also has a lot of information, all these articles and things like that. So, yeah, there's all kinds of information that you can get through them.
I'll step out of the way for some other callers.
All right, thanks so much for calling in.
Glad you're here.
All right, thank you for calling. And we're glad our listeners are there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
We're glad most of our listeners are there. Let's make that clear right then and there, okay? I guess I should point these things out in minute detail. Okay, good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, people concerned about the future of the station should come to 120 Wall Street on Friday at 5:30 p.m. There's a demonstration to save our station.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the info. And, you know, demonstrations are always a good way to get your thoughts out. Definitely. Okay, people I know want to know stuff about what happened with the Kevin Mitnick hearing yesterday, which was finally the sentencing hearing that would decide his fate once and for all. No more postponements, no more delays. Well, guess what? Another postponement, another delay, this time because the judge, for no reason at all that she has given yet, simply decided to postpone it for 2 weeks. We have no idea why. I talked to Kevin yesterday. He's very frustrated by this. He's very apologetic to all the people who traveled many, many miles to be there yesterday for the final sentencing hearing, only to be turned away, being told there's no hearing today. It'll happen in 2 weeks. He woke up at 3 in the morning to get ready for this. He had to stay in the U.S. Marshal's holding cell, which is in the basement of the courthouse, and that's not exactly a pleasant place to be. And he didn't find out until 12:30 when his lawyer told him that the thing had been postponed. So frustration continues. August 9th is the August 9th at 1:30 is now the latest date that sentencing will take place. And it's a microcosm of what's been going on for the last 5 years in this case, just postponement after postponement while someone rots in prison, and nobody seems to care. It's really pathetic and sad. And again, we're really sorry for all the people who went to a lot of trouble to be there yesterday. Hopefully that won't quell the enthusiasm for being there in 2 weeks. I mean, consider it kind of like, you know, a tactic that's being used to quell our enthusiasm by postponing things, by making things as inconvenient and unpleasant as possible, not only for us, but for Kevin. We can't let that happen. We can't let that drive us down. So please be there. Los Angeles Federal Courthouse. It's on Spring Street in Los Angeles for all our L.A. listeners. Please be there. August 9th, 1:30 p.m., and spread the word, because filling that courthouse is a very important thing to do. It boosts Kevin's spirits tremendously, but it also shows that we're out here and we're not going to forget about this case, and we're not going to be tread upon lightly. Okay, shall we take a couple more phone calls? Isaac, anything new in your world? I asked knowing the answer to be no.
my tiny little world?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the new tool out of the loft. Uh-huh. Anti-sniff. Anti-sniff, yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty neat little utility.
Uh-huh. What does it do?
Oh, what does it do? It looks for other NICs that are in promiscuous mode, who could possibly be sniffing the Ethernet network. It takes a lot of interesting little techniques that some people have known about for some time and puts them all in one handy-dandy little utility, which is something the Loft guys do really well.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You want me to give tech specs? Or?
Well, why don't you give info on how people can get it, since we do have a reduced time show today.
Oh, sure. Head to www.loftl0pht.com.
Those other people wouldn't give back the other Loft, L-O-P-H-T, would they?
I don't know.
That's so nasty. Oh, well. But check that out. It's always nice to have interesting bits of software being released. And anything else?
Not really, no. I'm a fairly boring person, as you know.
Porkchop, how about you?
Hello, everyone. Well, I've got another friend here. From our off-the-hook real audio encoding team, we got Junes. Hello, Junes. Say hi.
Yell. How you doing?
Hi.
He's just visiting for the day.
Uh-huh.
What else is going on? Oh, we're doing Freedom Downtime. We've continued doing the actual show now.
We're editing. It's behind the scenes. Yeah. We'll let people know when we're done.
Well, yeah, when we're done, we'll...
Yeah, it'll be a long time.
You'll definitely hear about it, everyone.
Anything else?
That's about it, I think.
All right.
I had something else.
Well, okay, we've updated people on the... on the Kevin situation, which unfortunately didn't resolve itself. Let's read some letters. And we'll take some more phone calls, 212-209-2900. Okay, let's try this one right here. Dear Off the Hook, since Emmanuel was trying to get the time from an AT&T operator during the June 15th show, I thought you might find this interesting. I suspect you've probably encountered it before, but it was the first time I'd heard it. When dialing a particular phone number, which I'm not going to give out because it's not the nice thing to do, give out a phone number, in the 530 area code, which is some new area code in California, you get an automated voice that says, "It is now such and such where you are calling to," and then proceeds into some kind of voicemail system. Or I think maybe the number you were calling proceeded into some kind of voicemail system. Basically, if you have AT&T as your long-distance carrier, and you call any place outside your time zone, you will get a cheery little voice saying, "It is now such and such in the time you are calling to." Apparently this is because a lot of people are being woken up at 4 in the morning on the East Coast by people on the West Coast where it was only 1.
But after it announces that,
doesn't it just immediately ring the person?
Oh, yeah, it does. In fact, sometimes the person picks up before that announcement is finished. The phone actually begins ringing before that happens. So for that to be the case, well, I don't know. The point is, it's a free way of getting the time, sort of. Yeah, that's what's cool about it.
If you're calling in your same time zone, yeah, either that or do some math.
No, it doesn't give it to you in your own time zone. It gives it to you in different time zones. Right. So if you know what the time zone is, it doesn't work internationally either.
Oh, well.
And it only works in AT&T. But, you know, come on, it's not like this costs them anything to tell you what time it is, because they obviously know what time it is to bill you in the first place. So
to the millisecond, actually.
It can be a free way to get the time if you call something that's either busy or that you know won't answer after one or two rings. So, yes, that is interesting. And again, only works on AT&T.
Is anyone compiling these, by the way?
Compiling what?
The list of ways to get the time.
I already knew about that one. There aren't that many ways of getting the time.
Oh, okay.
We gave out a couple of numbers last time, I think, or a couple of times ago.
Yeah.
That we called up, and. I mean, getting the time should not be as hard as they're making it. Okay, earlier today is another letter. I was dialing a long-distance call but forgot to include the 1 before the area code. I ended up getting a recording. Thank you for choosing MCI WorldCom as your long-distance service. Again, they give out the phone number. That's awfully odd. I'm going to call that number and see what happens. I'm not going to give that number out over the air. Because,
for those listeners who can't see a manual dial, the number...
Okay, let's try. Hopefully I won't call this guy at his house or something. Doesn't seem to work at all. Either that or our touch tones didn't work. I'm going to try it one more time. Okay, let's get our dial tone back. All right, now we're dialing the... secret number. Here we go.
Thank you for choosing MCI WorldCom as your long-distance service.
Well, that is interesting. That is very interesting. I don't know why you call a certain number in New York and get that. Very interesting. We're gonna look into that. Maybe if you call that collect, you can really confuse an operator. If we had more time, we'd do that this week, but we don't. Dear Off the Hook, if Kevin Mitnick had to pay $1.5 million, I don't think it would be a huge problem. Think about it. I'm trying. If Kevin's release is in sight and $1.5 million is all that stands in the way, I think we could raise it. How many thousands of subscribers are there to 2600 Magazine? How many other supporters of Kevin's cause are there that would donate $10 or $15 and try to raise this money? I know I would try and give as much as possible, but maybe that's just me. Well, I think you might be overestimating the generosity of people out there, because $1.5 million is an awful lot of money, and you'd need
100,000 people contributing $15.
Is that what you calculated? 100,000 people?
50? Well, it's simply moving a decimal point.
Okay, well, if that's all you have to do, then yeah, that's a phenomenal amount of people, and we don't have that many subscribers, so I don't think that's going to work. So anyway, the thing is, it's a ridiculous figure, and we have to fight that figure as much as possible. Let's take another phone call. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
I
just want to mention,
I haven't heard you in a long time. How come you haven't been calling us?
Oh, yeah, because I've been doing things. I've been busy.
Too busy for us now.
Oh, yeah.
This is certainly a sad day when Rebel's too busy to talk to us.
I just want to mention, I know
he's probably cavorting with all those, you know, jet setters out there on the Upper East Side.
On the Upper East Side? How about the Lower East Side? Anyway.
Now, you're not a Lower East Side type.
No.
No, definitely not. In fact, I think you should stay out of the Lower East Side.
Okay. Why is it easy to convince a phone company to give you credit and to con a phone company, social engineer a phone company? And why are the people that represent phone companies not as smart? It's like banks. In other words, I go to a bank, you know, you can't con a bank. You can't hack an ATM. You can't make, you know, get money out of a bank like you can with a phone company, or make free phone calls, or, like, in other words, my bank now charges me to take up money if I'm not their customer. In other words, if my bank is Independent Savings, I go to Republic Bank, they won't charge me, but Independent Savings will. I go to the bank, they said, well, sorry, I said the ATM in Independent Savings wasn't working. Well, I just told them that. But they said, oh, sorry for the inconvenience. You know, they still charge me the 60 cents of the dollar.
Are you catching up to your point?
Yeah, is this a question?
It's a point and a question. The question and point is, it's easy to get credit for a phone call and let the phone company believe you when you say something that's
okay,
not
the
true.
The answer is that the phone company will spend more money trying to argue with you over the 25 cents for the quarter that you didn't quite lose in the payphone than it would be to just send you the damn quarter.
Yeah, but why can't you do that with a bank or a financial
institution? Because the
bank
doesn't have the explosive profit margin that the telephone company does.
They're a bank. They're a
wait a minute. Wait. You're saying banks don't make profits?
Oh, banks certainly make profits, but they have well, all right.
They make money handle, because all they do is deal with money. That's all they do.
You call an operator, you say it ate my quarter.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It doesn't, you know, what is a quarter to Bell Atlantic?
Well, yeah.
Let me ask you something.
The point is, when you tell a bank that they stole a quarter, all they do is deal with money. They don't deal with phone calls. They just deal with money. So you're basically saying, hey, you know, give me some of
quarter?
Your money. But
well, guess what? I'll bet you that some manager is just going to flip the quarter off his thumb and say, here, go away.
I've never known
Why
a bank to
I
do
say,
that.
I lost $10 in the ATM. The ATM didn't give me $10. Are they going to credit my account?
I don't know. You have to.
I've gotten banks to credit my account for things like, you know, overdrawn checks, things like that. That you know, there's some contention as to when exactly it was written. You can do it occasionally. You can occasionally, but you're right. It is a little bit more difficult.
There's also competition in banking, where if you don't like what they do, you can go to another bank. Whereas with
quickly before the other bank takes over your first bank.
Right.
Well, that's true.
Bell Atlantic really doesn't have anyone to answer to, so you're kind of jammed.
Any other questions, Rebel?
Let's see. What other questions? I mean, this country
this
is becoming
from diffraction through the
play the voicemail
atmosphere.
System on the WBAI. You haven't played it in a long time.
I'm sorry?
Play the WBAI voicemail where people call in.
Why? Did you happen to leave us a message there?
No, I was just, you know. This country is becoming so annoying in terms of consumer things, like banks are now charging for ATMs and little inconvenient things like phones are now charging for information a quarter. Like if you go out of town, sometimes it'll be a quarter to call information if you want an address or something.
Nobody fights it. It will continue. Get used to it.
Or go to another country.
You should compare
other countries. You really should.
Go to Canada. Canada, they don't charge you for ATMs. Canada, they don't have these little charges.
Canada isn't really far away enough, but yeah, it's a start. From there, you can hop over to, you know, Siberia and keep going from there.
Well, is Canada really a country?
All right. That leads me to my gripe, okay?
Uh-oh.
Which I...
You're pointing at me. Do you have a gripe with me?
No, not really, except that you don't have the problem I have. So, yeah, I do have a problem with you because I'm the only person that seems to have this problem. But basically, do you know what happened? Remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking about how I'm having a hassle getting a passport?
Yes.
They've basically told me that they will not give me a passport, and I'm now not allowed to leave the country. Can you believe this nonsense?
Wait a second. The Department of State said that they won't issue you a passport?
No, because the Department of State does not talk to you directly. The only way to talk to these people is by calling a 900 number and paying a couple of bucks a minute and talking to some dweeb someplace that sends notes back and forth.
Did you make the appointment to go to the office?
If I had made the appointment when you told me to make the appointment, it still wouldn't have come up because it's not until late July that I'm able to... Well, okay, it's late July now. The point is, it doesn't matter anymore because once the 15th of July passed, I couldn't travel anymore anyway because I had to make those plans with the Russian consulate for the visa to get over there. So basically, these idiots have completely screwed up my whole summer. You know, I can't go overseas now because here's what happened. I sent them the passport like they asked. You know, I sent them the old expired passport because the first time they said I didn't need to give it to them, okay? And then it turns out, after calling the 900 number, yes, I did need to give it to them. They never told me this directly. I had to call them to find out why they never sent it to me. So I sent it to them. I FedExed it to them, and nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. So I had to call the 900 number several more times, and finally they said, there's a problem. That's really all they said. They didn't know any more than that. They just said, there's a problem. Maybe you want to send them your birth certificate too, but they couldn't tell me why, and they couldn't guarantee that that would solve anything. So that's where it stands right now. And you know, I can't help, I don't want to be a conspiracy nut here, but I can't help but think that there's some sort of relationship to me being on that little list that a couple of the customs people said I was on whenever I come into the country and they search all my bags and all that kind of thing and ask me about my allegiances and who I was hanging out with and you know, who won the World Series in 1940 and everything, all these like stupid things. So now, yeah, apparently they don't want me to leave again. They want me to stay here, which they got their wish. Now I'm here, but I'm going to tell everybody about this. I've already sent letters to all my representatives. But here's a crazy thing. I've got this one representative. I think his name is Michael Forbes or something. Or it's not Steve Forbes. He's the one running for president, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's the other one, Malcolm Forbes.
We won't even get into that.
Okay, so I think it's Michael Forbes. He's the guy out on the island. I call his office, and I say, look, this is a problem. I can't talk to these people. I tried calling them. I keep calling a 900 number. It costs a couple of dollars a minute. And the guy wasn't Michael Forbes, obviously. It was one of his aides. He came up with an ingenious solution. He said, well, I have an 888 number you can call, 888 being a toll-free number. And all you have to do is give them your credit card information. He didn't get the point. The point isn't that I'm prejudiced against 900 numbers. The point is I'm prejudiced against having to pay to talk to an agency that supposedly is working for me. So I didn't get very far. And then the very next day, he changed from a Democrat to a Republican. I'm sorry, from a Republican to a Democrat. So I don't know what that means.
Well, that same staffer left, most likely, then. So
I don't know. So that's
Have you made the appointment to go to the office
yet? What's the point? Isaac, what is the point? I'll meet these people in mid-August sometime. I'll just be in a very bad mood.
Go to the New York office. Pretend you're from Connecticut or something.
You have to wait the same amount of time everywhere. Well, I don't want to travel across country to get a passport I'm not even going to use now. All I want my old passport back. I want my old passport back because I know they're going to lose that or something or just not send it to me. That has stamps from countries that don't even exist anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I really want that back. And the only way to get my new passport was to send them my old one, and now they're not sending me my new one or my old one.
That sounds fishy in and of itself, but...
I just want to know what's going on, but there's no way to call these people. There's no way to ask them. Yeah, you could go in, make an appointment, but, you know, I have the feeling when I do make that appointment and see them, I'm just going to get more bureaucracy and red tape and...
Actually, the centers are pretty good with sorting things out.
Okay, you know what? I'll make the appointment.
I think you should.
I will make the appointment tomorrow.
Even if you don't go on the trip, make the appointment so you can...
I can't go on the trip. The trip would be beginning next week.
Fine.
There's no way. But, you know, I do want compensation for this. I'm not much of a litigator, but I do want compensation for having my entire summer ruined. Having to stay here.
So you're going to sue the Department of State?
I don't know. What do you do? You know, how do you get satisfaction for something like that? It's not right. It's not right. It's harassment.
A lot of things that aren't right.
I wonder how many people this happens to. You know, people that they just don't like for whatever reason. They mess with them. They keep them from being able to travel freely.
You think they don't like you?
I have a feeling that there might be some problems there, and it comes from having my luggage ripped apart almost every time I come into the country, even from Canada. So,
I'm searching for those 128-bit keys, man.
Meanwhile, rebels hopping around the world, like trying to get money from banks and phones, and I can't even travel to Russia. Something they don't want me to see over there. All right, let's take some more phone calls. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm just fine. I wanted to let you guys know a few things. First, all the 2600 net servers are down. And
what's so unusual about that? They're always down.
That's true. That's not right.
We do need some new net servers, obviously, for our IRC network, because what we have right now is probably not sufficient for the amount of traffic we're getting. So if you want to help us out, send email. Porkchop, what's the best email that you'd send for that?
Hell, one at irc@2600.com .net or anything like that.
That'll go to us.
Yeah, that'll find us.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. Also, yesterday in the Free Kevin room on the 2600 net server,
before it went down?
There was a ton of people. There was like 25 people in there, and we didn't know till like 2 or 3 p.m. that it was canceled, so people were there for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, that was a very frustrating day for a lot of people because we just weren't getting the word out. We weren't finding out information. We expected something to happen, and nothing happened, and it was very frustrating for everybody. So if you felt frustration, and you felt the same thing Kevin did, so there's some sort of bond there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, just to let you know, seeing as you have like 2,000 subscribers, right? Something like that. That's the last thing I saw.
Well, we have the magazine has about 2,000 subscribers, but on the newsstands it goes to about 43,000 people. So there's a lot of paranoid people out there that don't want to be on any lists.
Gee, would hackers be paranoid people?
I have no idea.
Yeah, the subscribers would have to pay $750 each to make $1.5 million.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of money. But imagine how much money that is, and then say I'm Kevin Mitnick, and they want me to pay $1.5 million all by myself. You know, you realize how crazy that is.
Yeah, and can't even get any job other than like a convenience store. So,
how long do you think it's going to take working at 7-Eleven to make $1.5 million?
And if he pays it, how's he going to eat food?
Exactly. Well, I guess if you work in 7-Eleven, you might be able to work something out with that. All right, thanks for the call.
Okay.
We'll move on down the line here. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Good evening, Emmanuel. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Sounds like you're
that's right here.
That's
a really nice-sounding phone.
What kind of phone are you using?
A Microtel.
It's very nice. Very
Thank
nice.
You. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it sounds like you're right here in the studio with us.
Well, quick question, Emmanuel.
Yes.
Have you gone down to the New York office with your ticket in order to get your passport? Most people who need an immediate passport within 2 days usually go down to the New York office.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you the frustrating part. You see, I couldn't get a ticket because to get a ticket, I needed a valid passport because to get to Russia, you need a visa, and you got to apply for the visa in advance. That was the whole problem.
Have you applied to a secondary country and getting a secondary ticket like going to Canada?
Well, the other thing is that I didn't have an exact date that I wanted to go yet. I started this whole process back in June, and I wanted to vaguely go in August. So I didn't want to make a commitment. I figured just renewing the passport would be the easiest thing to do. So I put, I basically sped up the thing by paying an extra amount of money, and I hoped to get the passport within a week. And it just never happened. I never heard from them.
Agreed. Understood. But try a weekend trip to Canada. Basically, you still need some type of identification to go down to the New York office, get the ticket, you will get the passport within 2 or 3 days, okay? And then you can apply again for a long-distance trip to, say, Russia, unless you know you're a recognized criminal.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, now you got me worried. All right, thanks for the tip there.
I told you, you have to go to the office and they straighten it out.
Yeah, but the thing is, to make the appointment at the office, you got to wait several weeks. You're saying I
what
can just
do you
walk
mean
down
weeks?
There?
It's like days. I called on Friday, and it was 3 business days, which put me on Wednesday, and that was high traffic for them.
You know what you're asking for.
Go ahead. He knows the number by heart, too.
No, I'm calling information.
Oh, you're calling? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I hope we don't have information blocked, because that would be a problem.
Information block?
I think we do.
TCG with City, please.
Oh, hi. New York. I'm looking for the number
Manhattan.
For... Yes, Manhattan. Okay. The number for the passport office might be in the Department of State.
The passport office?
Yeah.
Like a passport acceptance facility, something like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or something that gives you a passport.
The place that gives you a passport, there's like a 24-hour hotline thing.
Passport photo service.
No, not passport photo. Basically...
I mean, because they have like a listing like at the post office, at the courthouse.
Do you have anything on Hudson Street?
Wait a moment, sir.
This is the actual government agency, so...
Okay, I do have a New York emergency passport.
That's it, yes.
Please hold for that number, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for using TCG.
This is new.
The number is area code 212-206-3500. Once again,
okay,
the number
thank you
is
very much. You know, that was nice. TCG, that's apparently the
that
phone
was,
company we use now.
That
we don't,
was actually very pleasant.
We don't use Bell Atlantic. I actually talked to a human being for the first time on the telephone in a long time. You know, when you call Bell Atlantic, you get a computer answering, you get a computer telling you the number, and I can't tell you how many times I've asked for something special, like, you know, I need the address for this thing, and they just play the number and hang up on you, and you have to call like four or five times to get it right. All right, let's call that number.
Now, you know your social security number because you have to use that.
Oh, I don't have to use that. We'll just see how long the appointments are.
Hello. First, your information in English, followed by Spanish.
This is great audio levels here.
Thank you for calling the New York Passport Agency. You must use a touchtone phone in order to access the menu options of the telephone.
If you don't have a touchtone phone, what do you do?
Not be able to speak with a live operator. If you know your party's extension, enter it now. To continue, please press pound.
Pound, okay.
This is a special message.
That's better.
Ooh.
In order to be served at the New York Passport Agency, customers must have an appointment scheduled in advance. Because of peak travel demand, appointments are currently booked for approximately the next 10 days. However, cancellations do occasionally occur. If you wish to try to make an appointment, instructions will follow later in this recording. If you have already applied for a passport anywhere in the New York area and have not received it, please call the National Passport Information Center on 1-900-225-5674.
Nice little scam they got going there.
1-888-362.
Ooh, there's the 888 number.
Yeah.
So
that guy
using a major credit card. Again, service at the New York Passport Agency is provided by appointment only. We apologize for any inconvenience our customers may experience during this time. For information only in English, press 1.
Okay, we want English.
Main menu. To schedule, cancel, verify, or change an appointment, press 1. To schedule a new appointment, press 1. The automated appointment system is available 24 hours a day,
wow,
7 days a week. Please have a pencil and paper ready to note your confirmation.
Yeah, but you can't get an appointment
and the date
24
and
hours
time
a day.
Of your appointment.
Yeah, you can.
That would be nice.
To schedule an appointment, you must be traveling or need to submit your passport for visas within the next
14
days. If you are not traveling or do not need to submit your passport for visas within the required time frame, press 1. If you are traveling or need to submit your passport for visas within the required time frame, press 2.
That would be you.
Yeah, I don't need to anymore, so I'm going to press 1.
You are not,
I'm not traveling
or do not require visas.
I was, but I'm not anymore.
Well, maybe
you may apply at a post office or...
I'm not going to lie.
If you are traveling or need to submit your passport for visas within 25 calendar days, we recommend that you include with your application both an outgoing and a return overnight air bill. This will greatly reduce processing time normally lost due to mailing delays. Also, you may request expedited service.
Ha,
no
that's
proof
what you
of
did.
Travel is required. You may hang up now to end this call, or stay on the line to receive additional passport information.
You see, they won't even take my application.
Passport fees are $60 for...
I can't even make an appointment unless I lie and say I'm traveling in the next 15 days, which I'm not anymore. You see what the problem here
well,
is?
Well, maybe they could arrange something so you could travel in the next 14 days.
But I don't want to travel anymore.
You don't?
No. I don't want to think about
this
anymore.
What was this entire exercise for?
I didn't want to talk about this. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
How you doing? Listen, I just wanted to give you a hint about the... this is Abacab.
How you doing?
I called about the satellites a while back.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just wanted to give you a little piece of information. I live out in Smithtown.
Okay.
And I know you're out in the island. I walked into the passport office, post office right here, and got a passport in 4 days. I don't understand what the problem is. Bring your social security card, another form of identification, and a birth certificate, and they give you one right.
Yeah, well, I went to the post office too, and the guy looked over my old passport, looked at my driver's license, and said I'd get something in a week. And the next thing I heard was after I called a couple of weeks later trying to find out what was wrong, and they said, well, you never sent us your old passport, so we didn't do anything.
Okay, here's a little piece of advice. Yeah. Get a letter from a company that has an office in, say, Russia, England, wherever you happen to be traveling, and say you have to travel for business purposes. Simple as that. You have a business. You're a magazine editor.
Mm-hmm.
You're traveling for business purposes. All you have to do is sign the thing, submit it to them, tell them that it's for business purposes, and they'll let you go. That's exactly what I did, and it took me a total of... I didn't have my birth certificate, so I had to order that, but 4 days after I had my birth certificate over to them, I had my passport. I took the photo, I came back, they told me to come back in an hour, and it was ready to rock and roll, and I never had a passport before.
Well, you see,
that
now getting it the first time is a lot easier than renewing it, because all you have to do is show your birth certificate, and I think that's it.
Yeah, birth certificate and I think Social Security.
But we had this whole confusion where they said, no, you don't need to submit your old passport. Then, yes, you do need to submit your old passport. Then I submitted, and there's a problem which they won't define. So it's just gotten a bit silly right now.
Well, my best advice to you is to get something on your own stationery, for your magazine, saying that you're traveling for business purposes. They can't deny you a passport for that. Okay?
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a try. It can't hurt, right?
Nope, not at this point it can't.
Yeah. Hey, man, I thought you guys went off the air completely. I was like, I tuned in and I'm checking my antenna.
You felt that sense of panic, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I switched the computer and I tried to get a real audio signal to see if you guys were really there or not.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm in Smithtown. You should be able to get our FM signal pretty good.
Yeah, right? Well, it comes in pretty good usually, but we had a brief thunderstorm a couple of days ago, and I thought it messed up the front end on the tuner, and I started getting spooked and going, uh-oh. All right, you guys have a nice time.
Thanks for listening.
All right, thank you.
I imagine a lot of people...
They're agreeing with me.
Listen, they can agree with you till the cows come home, but the point is, you can't deny what's already happened to me. You can't deny that.
Well,
and there's nothing else I could have done.
I still think you can get over there if you wanted to.
I don't... Well, first of all...
You can get the passport.
I can't because the plans aren't there anymore. The people I'm going with, I wasn't able to commit by a certain amount of time, so...
They're already doing their thing?
Even if I got it today, I could not go. So that's completely destroyed.
All right, well...
It's life, you know.
How about Australia?
I'll just stay home this summer.
All right, can I go to Australia?
Sure, go. Leave on the next boat. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, wow, I've never gotten on so quickly. Let me turn the radio down.
Well, you know, it's only 5 minutes left in the show, so...
Well, got lucky.
Yeah.
Well, basically, Emmanuel, if I remember correctly, you handed in... You sent the application in via the post office.
I didn't mean for this to be a big major issue. I just wanted to gripe about it. It's not the most important thing facing humanity today.
But it's funny, though.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny to us. To you, it's a nightmare.
Keep in mind, I've already paid for this. And they cashed my check. They cashed my check the next day.
Didn't you?
What's that?
You submitted it at the post office.
At the post office,
okay,
right.
See, now you trusted a postal employee who has no clue what the hell the procedure was. You knew what the procedure was. You knew your passport had to go. You should have sent it.
Well, I didn't know for sure. Because well, first of all, keep in mind, there are no people to ask because you can't talk to people at the passport agency. You can only talk to computers, all right? So I didn't know for sure if you were supposed to send it. And I was just as happy when he said I didn't need to because I was afraid they were going to lose it.
No.
Sorry?
You said it on the computer recording now. You have to send in your old passport, didn't they? I just thought I heard that on the computer recording that you just listened to.
Well, if they said it then, they didn't say it before.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right. Because I did listen, and I was trying to find out information about that. I remember asking a lot of different people, and it was kind of split. All right. Good evening. You're in the air.
Yeah, listen, I have my old passport.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's not true. You don't have to. I have mine.
Wait. Did you have to send it in when you got your renewal?
Nope.
Ah, see? Not everybody has to.
Right.
How did you get your renewal then?
Now, I got my renewal. I was living in England at the time, and I got it through the American Embassy. So it's the same kind of a passport.
So if I was out of the country, I'd have a better shot getting a passport than if I'm
probably
here.
But I would also suggest calling the American Embassy and finding out if there's any reason. Are you on any, you know, do they have any, your passport listed under anything at all?
Oh, wait, there's no American Embassy in America.
No, call an American Embassy. Call one. Just find out if your passport is listed under any category.
So I'll call the American Embassy in Kazakhstan or something.
Or England.
Or
Canada.
Now, I was going to suggest that you call and say that it's lost, because it's not a lie at this point. Why don't you try to get a replacement passport?
Well, a replacement for my expired passport? Replacement for my non-existent new one?
Exactly, it's lost.
Well, whatever one, it's lost. So, you know, it's lost at this point. Just, you know, I would just suggest anything to start.
What's lost is my expectation for competency and
bureaucracy. American government,
Yeah.
I got a question, though. A while back, you had called an email that spoke on the phone, you know, the talking email.
Mm-hmm.
What was that called, and how do I...
Oh, yeah, that service.
Yeah.
It went through, what was it, IDT, the phone company. They offer it through their I think, 9 cent a minute calling card. So I don't know what the exact service was called. It's on our back shows. If you listen on the web, you'll be able to find
IDT?
It there. IDT is the phone company we got that through, yes.
Inkswat Delta Tango?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's rumored that Sprint will be buying them, but that's just a rumor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye. Sprint's buying everything. Okay, hang on. We got a lot of feedback here, and we got a lot of lights going on.
Tommy Pickles.
Hey, how you doing?
Long time, huh?
What's up?
I'm glad to hear that you guys got on the air finally, but I didn't get to hear the show because you guys got on so late, because the radio station was down. You there?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Continue talking.
There was a silent pause. Also, I wanted to be able to talk to you offline maybe on Friday at the meeting, because the agency, of course, that I work with, mad at me because of disclosure, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, are you able to say more? Or?
A lot of people sending email about it, and Parse knew about it because I talked with them about it, and a lot of people sent email, and now it's a whole big issue.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to work through this, and hopefully Friday offline, me, you, Porkchop.
Okay. Well, you know that the meeting isn't this Friday.
It isn't? Then I got the days mixed up. I guess we're not ending the month at this... this Friday.
Yeah, next Friday is the first Friday of the month, and that's when the 2600 meetings worldwide take place.
All right, just poke me with a stick and wake me up about then, all right?
Okay, we'll just sit on the bench by Citicorp, and we'll be sure to do that.
Yeah.
All okay, right,
I'll
thanks.
Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for calling.
All right, peace.
And let's try to take one more phone call in the time we have. Oh, here it goes again. Yeah, good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, well, I was listening to the radio, and all of a sudden WVI got cut off. Do you know what happened?
We went off the air, but we're back now. It was something to do with the air conditioning over the Empire State Building, I think.
All right.
So one of those tourists turned it down. You know, those people going up to the top of the observatory, they turned it down and knocked us right off the air.
No good red-blooded New Yorker would ever turn off air conditioning in the Empire State Building.
No.
It's got to be a tourist.
Well, somebody was listening to the power company saying, turn down the power, turn off the air conditioning. And you see what that gets you? You see? Radio stations going off the air, mass chaos in the streets. Anyway, that's it for this abbreviated edition of Off the Hook for this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with a full hour and without much chaos. Maybe the heat wave will be over by then. We'll worry about this kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, it's Manuel for Porkchop and for Isaac.
Bye-bye.
Have yourselves a good night. We'll see you next week.
So I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump, for the best expect the worst. I hope that's understood. But Billy Bump. We'll be right back.
That's the music from Cat and the Kings, winner of London's 1999 Olivier Award for Best Musical. Cat and the Kings is the